the time together with the with our kids and everything. There'll be lots of cousins here.
Well, let me ask you, heading into this very polarizing time here after the election, you've been kind of caught in the middle because of your committee chairmanship and the committee's work, yet you also have, you know, your constituents that tell you what they feel, you know, and what and they ask you questions, and they have their so how have you gotten through the last couple of weeks trying to do the work of your committee fairly but also address your constituents' concerns?
Yeah, it's been a delicate balance, I guess, you know, because I have lots of constituents who are absolutely convinced that they've been defrauded, and I've got just as many constituents calling me up saying that that's all complete nonsense and malarkey, and we should just move on. And, you know, for my part, I think that we can't just ignore, you know, especially firsthand accounts from some folks who, you know, especially folks who have distinguished reputations of service to the state, who say they saw improper acts. We need to check that out. It's not right to ignore those things. I've also seen affidavits that are just silly. And so, you know, I'm not operating under a premise that says for sure there was so much fraud that the election is wrong. But I don't think anybody can fairly say either that everything went exactly right and that there's no room for significant checking into and significant reforms to the process, and maybe some number correction has to happen too. So I'm trying to, you know, thread that needle for fairness for everybody, and also a straightforward honesty about it. I don't expect the results are going to change by some dramatic amount that alters the outcome, but I do think that there's real room for reform, checking into things, and making sure that people can continue to have confidence, not just in this election, but in the processes that are set up to make sure that the elections are secure.
What exactly is the purview of your committee, and what is it that you're looking into? Are you looking into fraud? Are you so what exactly is the scope of what your committee is doing right now?
So the scope is quite broad in the fact that the legislature is responsible for election law almost entirely. There are some constitutional provisions recently adopted, but other than that, the Constitution continues to place that burden on the legislature. And so it is fully within our purview to review what happened, allegations, evidence, proof, and from that, deem a new course of action, set up new laws to safeguard the system and the processes. If we were to discover something significant, you know, that would be turned over to the other parts of the system, the Secretary of State, the boards of canvassers, the courts. The legislature doesn't get to just make a vote and invalidate elections. That's not at all how it works, and it's not how we should let it work, because the legislature is naturally a very partisan body, and you don't want the partisan part of your government judging elections after the fact. I mean, that would be a real problem. So we set up these other safeguards for the process before the fact.
So what is it that your committee has done so far? You've had some hearings, you've heard people's opinions. What is it that you've done so far, and where do we go from here, Ed?
So we have been conducting several hearings even before the election with the Secretary of State, trying to drill down on how a lot of this change of proposals 2 and 3, and then these orders that had come out because of COVID this year to help facilitate voting, were being implemented. And there were a number of questions that couldn't be answered or problems. We at one point had the Secretary of State's office even mention, it's like, we don't have a way to stop somebody from voting in our state and another state if they've moved from here. So, I mean, they admitted there's some real holes. But they also wouldn't turn over a number of documents and issues that we requested. So we've formally subpoenaed those documents and are working to get those from the Secretary of State's office. We've also conducted a very good and informative hearing with clerks, two whose counties didn't have any major controversy, a Democrat and a Republican, who really provided some excellent clarity on how poll watchers, challengers, workers, work, how the absentee voting counting boards work. These were really helpful in light of all of the allegations and affidavits that have been filed to give the committees and myself a much better handle on this and to also really expose just how poorly developed the laws are surrounding what poll challengers do, what who manages them, what rules and training they're supposed to have. It's really bad and certainly a huge blind spot we need to work on. Then we also had the clerk from Antrim County come in, which most of your listeners are going to know. The huge mistake that happened there blew up into national news and really led to a lot of the, not all of it, but was a significant contributor to a lot of the fears about computer technical changing of votes.
That was
a computer
that was
glitch.
For people who don't know, Ed, that was 6,000 votes that were recorded for Biden that were actually cast for Trump, correct?
Right. But it turns out, you know, that was very clearly human error in Antrim County. A series of very unfortunate and preventable mistakes that happened there and led to this, and then poor handling of that when it was discovered really allowed this to blow up into what it wasn't. And, you know, it was important to hear from the clerks if this were to happen somewhere else and not be so obvious as it was there. It was so obvious because it was just so far outside the norm for Antrim County's way of voting on a partisan basis. What if it happened in another county, but it was just, you know, one or two votes flipped the other way in a very tight county? And what are the safeguards that are in place to make sure this same error would have been caught there?
Do you think that would have, Ed, do you think that would have been noticed if it had been not so obvious? I mean, there's no way, judging by X number of elections, that Mr. Biden was going to win Antrim County by 6,000 votes. It was clear, so obvious that there had to have been a mistake.
Right. But what happens in a county where it's not that obvious? And the answer to that is just really simple. And they should have seen this before they released these numbers. The fact is that each individual tabulating machine that you and I feed our ballots into counts votes there on site and prints up a slip of what the totals are. That they tabulate it right there on site. That's a hard copy. But at the end of the night, the clerks there at that local level take those memory cards and they send the results electronically to the county clerk, who then runs them through a computer program and comes up with an unofficial vote count just by computer process. Now, that those numbers, they should have noticed right away that they didn't match the actual tabulation sheets that the clerks had back in the local offices. And that the Board of Canvassers, that's the very first thing they check. They pull out those long receipts from the tabulators and they say, says here, 5,000 votes for so-and-so. What did we report on election night? Oh, we only reported 1,000. Well, that's a huge problem. It would have, or they, you know, it's 5,002, and oh, we reported 5,000 exactly. Why is what shows up after running through the software different than what the tabulator put up? They had that information on election night in hand, and they just failed to act on it, and they released the unofficial numbers that were clearly not in line with the tabulation charts.
So let me ask you, practically speaking, for all of our listeners, you and I have talked a lot of legal stuff the last 5 minutes here.
Mm-hmm.
What is the? You're not trying to overturn the election and give it to President Trump in Michigan, mm-hmm. I think is what you're saying. What is it
we're
that
trying to get to the bottom of the irregularities, the improprieties, the human errors, the mistakes, the wrongdoing in cases. There were things that were done that were wrong that shouldn't have been done. Covering up the windows and certainly throwing out some of the challengers. These things were wrong, but they aren't necessarily evidence of fraud. They may give us reason to be suspicious, but they don't actually represent, you know, concrete evidence that fraudulent things happen. But there are also sworn affidavits of things, and that will be our next hearing. The next two hearings, we'll be bringing in people who have firsthand accounts that they want to share with us that they already have shared through affidavits. Like I said, some of the affidavits are just plain silly, but there are a few that are very serious, alleged very serious things. And we need to take those things up, and if there's criminal activity, we'll refer that to somebody for who deals with criminal activity. That's not the legislature's role either, but we're taking it seriously, but I look at the statistics. I look at the possibilities of changing things here. And, you know, voter turnout was actually down in Detroit and Wayne County this election cycle. And then we look at what was the general percentage of Trump votes, not just in Wayne County, but other comparable counties. We go to Illinois, to Chicago, you go to other big cities that are, you know, swing heavily towards the Democrats. Even if we were to look at Detroit and look at what we think are anomalies and things, but still extrapolate from that a percentage that's similar to other blue cities' votes, it doesn't get us over 150,000 votes slipping the other way. And that's why I say with some confidence, with a lot of confidence, that no matter what we find, whether it's mistakes or outright fraud, I don't have an expectation we're going to find that degree of it that would change things.
Let me ask you one more question.